Hey, everybody, it's Corey Mosley, and this is the Fearless Entrepreneurship Podcast, strategy, testimony, and real talk for all things entrepreneurship. And it starts right now. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Fearless Entrepreneurship Podcast. That's right. That's where I'm talking to some of the movers and shakers, the people who have put it all on the line to build their business. Some are starting up and some have been in the game for many, many years. I feel like I'm doing a where are they now or what have they been up to segment, because my next guest is a returning guest. She was on our podcast nearly 3 years ago. Yep, she looked it up to tell us for sure when it was going to be. But we wanted to have her back because she's always at the cutting edge of what it takes to build your business, ways to build your business. And she is the empress of networking and has been leading the charge in that area and has helping people get out of their shell and build partnerships. And she's somebody that I call when I need to. It could be something as simple as an electrician, and she's the one to go to because she's so well connected. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about none other than the fantastic and dynamic Dawn Brooks Gullah. Now, she has spoken professionally for over 30 years. She is the franchise owner of BNI Central Virginia, one of the, most explosive chapters of BNI all over the country. And during her career, she's also spoken to more than 50,000 business professionals. Dawn, welcome back to the podcast.
It's good to be back, Corey.
You know, I always love talking to you because it makes me laugh. We've got some great stories also from serving on boards and working together. And, you know, for you guys that don't know, you know, there's certain people in your life that have a way of getting you to do stuff. And I want to tell a story, yeah, because you're one of those people. They talk you into stuff that you – now, I get accused of this a lot with a lot of people that come into my ecosystem, but you're kind of the person that Jedi mind tricked me a few years ago. And for people that don't know the story, for some reason, the world thought it would be a good idea for me to be president of the National Speakers Association for the state of Virginia in the middle of COVID-19. And for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying taking the helm of an organization whose members get paid to speak primarily across the country at live in-person events during COVID. Now, the reason that happened is because Dawn Brooks Gullah convinced me that I should. Now, you didn't know. Did you know COVID was coming when you convinced me of that?
No, I didn't know COVID was coming, but I knew we needed you at the helm at that particular time. We had had very strong leaders in the past, but it had been all female, and I felt like we needed to have the anima and animus balance, that we needed a strong male presence there.
Yeah, so a few pep talks from Dawn later, and I ended up becoming the president during this chapter. It was a very interesting time. We got a lot of things done. That's a whole nother podcast. But it was just a testament to your ability to be an effective communicator and also, you know, deliver a compelling message, which I think is a lot of what may be missing from business owners today. What do you think about that?
I think business owners don't put enough emphasis on good communication skills, period.
Yeah.
They feel like that they can just walk in somewhere and say something and that should be enough without having any effort put into how they're going to say it, who they're going to say it to, and why they want to say it to those people.
Right. It's almost like, you know, I've got a great product. The product should speak for itself. Well, that's a problem. Now, I think that's always been a problem, but that's really a problem in 2023.
There's very few of my products that I want to speak for themselves, including Alexa.
Right.
So we need to give them a voice. We need to give them a personality. We need to give people a compelling reason to want to hear more, know more about our product or service.
I know that's true. So, of all the wonderful things, I don't want the idea to be lost on people, or the truth of this to be lost on people. You operate a franchise. You are a business owner. You're an entrepreneur. You operate 20, what's under your?
29 chapters.
29 chapters of Business Networking International, right?
Right.
What is that as an organization? How old is it? How long has it been around? How long
We've
have you been
around
involved?
For 38 years.
Okay.
And like a lot of businesses, we were founded by accident. Mm. Our founder, Ivan Meisner, was a business consultant in the 80s when business went down the tubes.
Mm.
And he had just bought a house, and he knew the mortgage company wasn't going to say, oh, dear, there's a recession. You don't need to pay us.
Right.
And so he was trying to figure out how he was going to get business. And so he surrounded himself with some business professionals and talked about how they could learn more about each other's businesses so that they could help promote each other.
Yeah.
And from that, it grew to an organization that's the largest business networking organization in the world with over 300,000 members.
Right.
In 74 countries, and last year alone, we did over $20.6 billion worth of business worldwide, which is more than the gross national product of over 80 countries.
Wow. All based on that premise of referrals, referability, people communicating and working together. How long have you owned the franchise?
Since 2007, I came in as a partner and then became full owner in 2010.
And what you know, for entrepreneurs, obviously, who are listening to this, one of the things that we often talk about is, you know, franchise. A lot of people think, oh, you know what, I have to have this original idea. I got to start from scratch. First off, I can tell you, sometimes that's more trouble than it's worth. But franchises provide such a turnkey idea, opportunity to really lower risk and really give someone who may be an entrepreneur or a good operator a real path. That's the real – what was it that intrigued you or brought you to the idea of, A, doing a franchise, and then, B, doing something like a B&I-related franchise?
I've been speaking on business networking for a long time, and I got married.
Mm.
And moved up to Richmond, and I was out of town probably 200 days a year.
Wow.
And I thought, there's got to be a way that I can still do something related to networking, still do speaking, and
stay married. Right.
And see my handsome prince as often as possible.
Yeah.
And I had met Ivan, and I thought, I'm going to check this out. And then I found out a friend of mine was thinking about buying the franchise and went to talk to him, and he asked me to come in as a partner, and it allowed me to bring my speaking days out of town to about 75 to 100, and I get to speak every single day to my business members, plus still do my outside speaking. But the more important part is that when I'd speak to somebody about networking and I would leave, I would never know what kind of effect it had.
Mm.
I get to see the results every single day of the effect that it's having on the people. In our region alone last year, we did over $35 million worth of business between our members.
Wow.
That's a significant impact on the Central Virginia economy.
How do you track that?
Our members report the business that they've received.
Okay. So that helps you also know if someone's not doing their fair share, if they're doing more taking than giving.
It helps us help them figure out how to turn that around.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of accountability in B&I. I am not by nature an accountability person.
Right.
I'm much more spontaneous, but
I would call you tough to nail down. That might be inaccurate. My team's looking around the room.
Well, I've got a lot of plates spinning.
Yes.
I'm trying to keep them all from falling.
That's a good way to describe it.
But by keeping track of how many referrals that they're passing to each other, how many have actually gone through and turned out to be business that they made money from, and working with members to help them develop better skills at networking,
right,
and seeing the results. And one of my favorite stories is we have a young man that's been in B&I for 10 years. And when he joined B&I, he was doing collision repair out of somebody else's garage at night while working during the day teaching collision repair.
Interesting.
He now owns his own building.
Wow.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car has rented space out of his building so that they can get rental cars directly to the customers when they're dropping off their cars. It went from him to 40 employees.
Wow. And what period of time?
10 years.
10 years.
He told me that he made more money in the first 2 months of this year than he made in the first 2 years he was in business.
And here's what I like about this. And here, this is because this conversation is completely organic. We have no idea where it was going to go, what was going to happen. What I love about this is I've heard two things that I think are very interesting. Number one, you got into franchising through partnership. And I think that's important for everyone that thinks, okay, great, the only way to do my business is to go out on my own or to go full in. You were able to, I would say, dip your toe in the water because the partnership, the major liabilities had already been kind of taken care of. You were coming into a franchise and then ultimately whatever bought the person out or started running it. So that was an extra way to mitigate risk, in my opinion. And the second thing, which coincides, is in the example that you talk about. This is a gentleman who obviously had a skill, wanted to transfer that skill to increase his income, which was going from teaching to doing. So he was teaching and then doing part-time, which many of us would refer to this as a side hustle. So it is side hustle at night of doing the repair and then put in the work. So it sends the other message is you can get started in your – you don't have to get started in your business full-time. You don't have to put every dime you have on the line and maximize your risk to the top to get started. Now, it may take you a little more time to grow if you do it that way, but that is an actionable way to grow your business or get started in your business. And I think that's interesting. How long had he been a member? I'm curious from an impact standpoint.
When he started,
yeah,
he was doing it in the garage.
Oh, okay.
At night.
So 10 years. So he's really been in that whole growth period.
Right.
He stayed an active member in the business.
Mm-hmm. And I have some members that have been in 23 years.
Wow.
Since the region was originally formed, that have been here since before I was even around.
What were some of the surprises? What were some of the things that you came into the business and you were surprised, like, oh, wow, I didn't know it was going to be like this, whether plus or minus.
I was surprised at the fact that people were willing to get up early enough in the morning to be at a meeting at 7:30 in the morning every single week.
Right.
To do business together. Because I'm used to organizations that meet weekly, but you don't have to show up. I'm used to organizations that meet once a month. But nothing I knew that required you to be at that meeting every single week to be part of that group and to pay to be part of that group and be there every single week.
What was tougher than you thought it would be?
The concept that this business is one of the oddest franchises out there. Most people have some sort of system where they get their clients. My clients come to me from my clients. Mm. My BNI members bring people they want to do business with to their chapters. And if the chapter interviews them and accepts them, they get to be in the client. So I have to depend on my clients to bring me clients.
Now, I know it's not, but I have to say the first thing I thought in my head was network market, you know, the old bring them to the meeting, you know, bring your friends to the meeting and sit up front and, you know, while they draw the circles. Shout out to all my multi-level marketers out there. It just made me think of that, like, because you got to each one teach one, reach one, right? Bring somebody else in to grow the business. So that was more concerning. Was there any point in this time, you've owned it how long again? How long did you say?
Since 2010. 10. Time.
Any time in that process you were like, I don't know if this is what I want it to be or if I...
No, I love it.
Okay.
I wake up every morning feeling I get to do this.
Yeah.
Not I have to do this, I get to do it. The fact that I just renewed my franchise, I'm 74 years old, and I just signed a 5-year renewal.
Okay.
Of my franchise. Says that I'm either crazy or I really love it.
Well, all right, so... Let's talk networking for a minute because you're a wealth of knowledge in this particular area. There's a lot of people who say they're networkers, go to events claiming to be networkers. I'm going to be honest with you. I find a lot of networking events to be a group of people who just want to have breakfast and wax poetic. And I'm going to say, lie is a harsh word, but embellish on what they've got going on or what they're doing. And this fantasy idea that we're going to do business. Oh, we should get together. Let's follow up. And no one ever follows up. Like, it just seems a little bit, you know, I'm a little more colorful on my podcast than I am in some of the other stuff I do. But, you know, it just seems like a lot of, eh.
Well, that's because people misunderstand the concept of network. It is a actual marketing strategy. Now, if you're doing marketing, you should be tracking the results of where you're investing your time and your money.
Right.
Which is one of the advantages of BNI. It gives you a system to track where you're investing your time and your money. But you can even mess up in BNI if you're not actually following the process. I'm spontaneous.
Right.
If I go to cook something for dinner, I'm going to look and I'm going to put in anything I want and I'm going to get some sort of results. Most of the time, good results because I understand the chemistry.
Right.
But cooking and baking are entirely different things.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So if you don't put the right ingredients in the right order,
your baking,
at the right
temperature,
your cake is terrible. It's going to yeah. be different every right. single time.
Right.
And different isn't always good.
Right.
BNI has a system that if you actually follow the system, that it's going to work out. But because I'm not that kind of person, I actually have to force myself into the
mold. That was polite. Because I was going to, yeah, because as soon as you said that, I wanted to say to myself, I have to imagine that the rigidity aspect of being inside a franchise, because those are the, right, the different
Lots
rules.
Lots of rules.
I go to my office, I want to run around and talk crazy. I can do that with no real
repercussions. I'm glad it's talking crazy and not undressed.
Right. That's an option too. Now, there's things inside the franchise world. Of course, you have a franchise agreement. So how did you adjust to maybe some things? And how do you even tackle things you don't agree with but have to stay, you know, have to color within the lines? I gave you a few things to unpack there.
And again, I'm not a color in the line yeah. kind of girl.
This is a global international podcast, by the way. So,
I have to remember what my target is, what my results that I'm looking for.
Right.
Okay. My husband's an engineer. He's an Uber engineer. If there's anything that engineers
Uber,
do.
Uber, not the car. Uber is in a super duper.
You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, gotcha. Just want to clarify that for people.
Okay.
Like, oh, he's an engineer.
So Frank does everything by the rules. So the first time Frank made dinner for me, he was making meatloaf. And I watched him take out his cookbook and his ingredients and his pans and line everything up and watched him make his meatloaf. And I'm looking at the cookbook and it's old.
Right.
And I said, how many times have you made this recipe? And he said, oh, a lot. He says, my mother bought me this cookbook when I graduated in 1974.
Right.
And when I was...
Shout out to Frank.
When I was on my own, I made it probably once a month. And then when I was a single dad, probably once a week. And I said, you don't know the recipe yet. And he said, oh, yes. Consistent recipe, consistent order, consistent ingredients, consistent results.
Right.
I have to remind myself of that with BNI.
Yeah.
It's not like being on stage and if I have an idea, I can add that idea and run with it. It's like I know if you do these things in this order and you track your results that you're going to get better and you're going to make money. And if I look at the results that you're tracking and things aren't going right, I can look at what you're tracking and figure out what I need to do to help you correct course.
Yeah. I get a lot of flack when I travel because I like chains. I like to go to chains. Oh, no, you got to sample the local flavor and all these other things. I like accountability. I like, A, knowing what that steak is going to taste like no matter where I'm at or that burger is going to taste like or whatever. And I like having I like having somebody to call if I have a problem. Now, you do that at you know, Sally Mae's barbecue joint. Sally's just going to tell you to get out if you don't like it, right? He's like, oh, what's the problem here? Oh, well, this, you know, maybe it's too salty. If you don't like it, get out. right? I don't want to put myself through that kind of process, nor in that situation. You know, I don't know if they take the same approach to health and safety or how they prepare food or how they, in a franchise, in a chain, I generally know what's going to happen there. And, you know, I don't know if I'm crazy for that being the, you know, philosophy or not, but there is something to be said about predictability and, as my friend Lex would say, systems and processes, right?
And B&I has those, but our philosophy is built on giver's gain, but traditions and innovation. You cannot keep moving in this world, especially as fast as it's changing, without doing some sort of innovation. And when I first came into B&I, our computer system was okay.
Right.
It is now insanely marvelous. Mm. We've got every kind of training you can think of. We have systems for tracking results. We have a statistician that helps us figure out what we can do differently or better. We have an app where our members can refer a piece of business to anybody in the world that's in B&I.
Right.
With just the app.
So let's think about this from an entrepreneur's perspective. So you mentioned, I wouldn't have, you said it, you're 74 now. But so what's interesting though, because if you think about a franchise, I mean, I know some people that own some franchises, but they're really absentee. Right. Mm-hmm. You're like working
every single day.
Yeah. You're not. It's not like, hey, great. 29 chapters. Fantastic. We're on the boat. See you later. Like you're working. Your husband's work. He's still a professor. He's still an active professor. Right. What's the driving force there? I'm going to assume you're not, you know, in a situation where if the paycheck doesn't show up tomorrow, you're in trouble. So what's the driver?
I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. Neither one of us have to work. And we could live to be in our early hundreds and not be worried unless the world goes totally insane.
Right.
I love people. I love people with a passion. Mm. I like seeing people successful. It gives me a joy that I can't even begin, a high.
Right.
I mean, endorphins, like you couldn't, like the story about my young friend that I just told you about. When I think about him, I get high off of that.
Yeah.
Frank and I decided that we're going to probably continue to work as long as we feel relevant. We might work a little bit less, but we like doing what we're doing. And we've given each other permission to tell the other one if we feel like we're losing our relevance.
Mm.
Because there's plenty of things that we can do.
Right.
There's plenty of things we can do to volunteer, or we could just lay on the couch all day.
Right.
That's not who we are as people.
Yeah.
I will tell you that I recently went to a funeral in Arlington this last week for a friend of mine that had passed away. And there were some people that I used to work with when I worked for the Navy. And some of them were 10, 15 years younger than me. And they looked and acted very old. Mm. I don't feel old.
Yeah.
The 74 is a biological number that's there, but I don't feel.
Yeah, people
74.
Can only hear. They don't know you were doing calisthenics in here about a half an hour ago in the studio, like warming up. I'm like, what is going on? And one of my producers, he's really old too. He runs 5 miles a day on the treadmill. I mean, we really could take lessons from that. You wouldn't know that, you know, he was really old. But he's laughing. He knows I pick with him because I love him. But yeah, I mean, so it's also like you talk about, it's the desire though. Because it's not that it's not work. It's not that you're phoning it in, because I know how difficult it is to get to you and get meetings and get different things going on from things that we do together. So it's work. You've got people calling you all day, people that need, you know. How many members are in the 29 chapters?
Around 625 right now.
Right, and you've got management layers and different things in there, but still, you're still on the pulse.
Every
you know,
single day.
Yeah, you're still on the pulse of everything. But before we transition to our rapid-fire section, what's a crazy moment? Anything crazy happened? Well, COVID happened. So since the last time you were here, because we know whatever that moment was, but since the last time you were here 3 years, what's a crazy entrepreneurial thing that maybe a crazy moment where you were just like, that is wild?
I will tell you, I've been really excited about AI.
Okay. AI is wild.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Since November. I'm
a robot right now. This whole podcast. Spoiler alert, it's all AI. No, I'm just kidding.
I am surprised how afraid people are and how many of them think it's going to replace them. I think that if you do not get on board with things as they come up,
right,
you're going to be left behind, and it won't be whatever new has come up. It's going to be you being a dinosaur. During COVID, I had to register probably 15 or 20 of my friends for COVID shots because they didn't know how to use a computer to register themselves to get a shot.
Right.
That, to me, is sad.
Right.
And I see it as a tool. I've been having fun with it.
Right.
The people that are going to lose their jobs are going to be the people that don't embrace it and learn how to use it effectively.
Right.
I used to go and speak to Frank's engineering class, and I told them one time that when we graduated from high school and college, we thought we might have two or three different jobs in our lifetime, and it would all be in the same field. Now people that are graduating from college will have 10, 15 different jobs.
Right.
And four or five totally different careers from where they set out to be.
Right.
But only if you move along with the world. We are not driving horse and buggies anymore. We are not cooking our dinner over a fire. We are moving on. We don't want the car that doesn't have air conditioning.
Sure.
I'm not sure I want a car that drives me yet, but
I don't.
But who knows? Maybe when I can't drive any more effectively, that would be a safe way to transport myself. But you have to be aware, and you have to learn to adopt and adapt to what's coming on, because the world does not move backwards.
100%. You're making excellent points. I often quote it was a military retired general that's not quoted, but it's from him, and it is people who hate change will hate irrelevance a lot more. Right. Isn't that the truth? Well, I want to talk about some of the things that you're interested in. We call this segment our entrepreneurship rapid fire questions, right?
Woo-hoo.
9 questions that you're just going to say the first thing. Some are either or. Otherwise, it's the first thing that comes in your head.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, PC or Mac?
PC.
Sorry to hear that. Number two, what's your favorite credit card right now for running your small business?
American Express.
Are you a physical planner or digital planner kind of gal?
Digital planner.
Favorite software right now to manage your business?
Keep.
Starbucks, Dunkin', or other?
Other.
What's the other?
Other is any kind of energy drink. I'm not a coffee person.
Oh, you walking around with Red Bulls, Dawn?
No Celsius these days.
Okay, interesting. Oh, that does all the... You got some nootropics or something going on there, yeah.
It was Mountain Dew kickstart, but now Celsius.
Well, I'm glad. I think we like you much better on the quasi-scientific beverage. Thank you card or thank you email?
Thank you card, except if my people don't communicate that way, I do where I like to communicate the way they prefer to be communicated.
Okay, that's an interesting take on that. When it comes to reading, hardcover, tablet, or audiobook?
All.
All.
I read 5 to 7 books a week.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Reasonable ones. You're not reading the Iliad 5 to 7 times a week.
I took an Evelyn Wood speed reading class many years ago.
And it stuck?
And it stuck.
Huh. I'll have to talk about that. What would you call or consider to be your next big goal?
My next big goal? To grow my region to 1,000 people before I retire.
What do you mean by that?
Right now I have 650-ish people.
Oh, I see. Inside
the
organization.
I'd like to have 1,000 members here in Central Virginia.
Before you
successful
retire.
Members.
Successful members. All right. Final question. One day with any mentor. We generally like them to be alive because that makes it possible. No Ben Franklins. But one day with any mentor, who would that person be?
I will tell you that I have had mentors in the past, and I found most of the time my mentors ended up having feats of clay. So I would be very particular, but if it could be somebody that would be dead, it would be my grandfather.
No, I want them to be alive.
Oh, alive.
Nobody.
No, not really.
Okay, is there somebody you'd like to meet?
Somebody I'd like to meet?
Yeah, that you have, like, somebody that would be great to meet. Like, wow, if I could have 5 minutes with this person, that would be nice.
I'm going to tell you a strange story. I used to be an x-ray technician.
Okay.
And I got to take an x-ray of Richard Nixon's knee while I was at Camp Pendleton at the Marine Corps base out there at the Naval Hospital. And I had just taken an x-ray of a young PFC, private first class, his knee, and watched the two different doctors, the head of the department and the other radiologists, throw the films up on the board. And I looked at the two sets of films, and except for the fact that you could tell that the PFC had not finished growing because his kneecap was not solidified yet, you couldn't tell the president from the PFC. And it was like this amazing moment for me where it reduced everybody to a common denominator that there was not any difference in human beings except the differences that we put on them. And I was never intimidated after that by meeting anybody. I've spoken in front of Senate subcommittees. I've met celebrities. My grandfather probably was the best person I ever met. And at his dinner table, you could find the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island, and the hooker from down the block sitting at the same table because he saw people as just as one people.
Now that's networking, folks.
And he embraced diversity in a way that I have never experienced by anybody else before or since.
Wow.
And so that's why there's nobody I've met that holds a candle to Arthur, Aloysius, Leroy, Heartbreaker, McGuire.
Now that's a name. That's a name for sure. Well, Dawn, we've got our final segment here. That is our trivia question. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. We've got our trivia question. This is our charity trivia question segment. I'm going to ask you a trivia question. It will be multiple choice. Now, if you get it right, we will donate $25 to the charity of your choice. If you get it wrong, you go in the Hall of Shame.
It will not be the first nor the last time.
It's a very easy equation here, okay? Are you ready for your trivia question?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Who said the following? Time is the friend of the wonderful business and the enemy of the mediocre. Here are your choices. A, Zig Ziglar. B, Warren Buffett. Or C, Jim Rohn.
Warren Buffett.
Is B your final answer?
No, if it's the wrong one. Jim Rohn?
It is B, Warren Buffett.
Oh, okay.
You got it correct. How about that? So that means you will go in the Hall of Fame. And what charity would you like to have a donation to?
It's called Yasha's House. It is a place where women that are in stress, that need a place to go, that are being abused, them and their children can go and live. And they teach them business skills and budget skills and life skills until they're able to be on their feet. So they have a home for them and their children.
That sounds like a fantastic charity, and they will be getting the benefit of a $25 donation based on your ability to successfully answer this trivia question. Dawn Brooks Gullah, I want to thank you for joining the show today.
And thank you for having me. And let's not wait another 3 years before I come back.
For sure. This has been another episode of the Fearless Entrepreneurship Podcast. We're super excited to have you here. Like, share, comment, and we will see you next time.